Everybody has somebody in their life that bugs them to death. I thought only I did. I really thought that I was the only person in the world that had somebody in my life that truly always said the wrong thing, always was at the wrong place at the wrong time, always was critical or negative. And I really believed that because nobody ever talked about this person in their life. So I began asking people, do you have somebody in your life that just bugs the dickens out of you? And they began whispering to me, yes, I do. And we began talking about it. Now, I'm not talking about the people who bug you, the people at your job. I mean, you can change jobs, quit, or they can be promoted, leave you in the dust, but we can get rid of them. Or in school, for instance, the people that really bug you, the teacher that really gets to you, or the kid that sits next to you, we can get away from those. In the marketplace, maybe a pastor has really bugged you. I hope not. But maybe some lady in your church is just the thorn in your side all the time. I'm not talking about these kinds of people because we can leave these kinds of people. If you have a friend that is always a constant critical person to you, you don't have to take her out to lunch anymore. So she just doesn't become your friend. The problem with this kind of person that I'm talking about, that each of us have, is that we are always related to them. This is a sad blow. We're related to them, and there's picnics and family reunions. There's Thanksgiving, and there's Christmas, and there's birthdays. And just about the time we recover from the last session with them, somebody gets married, or somebody dies, and we're back again together with them. It is no wonder that there are more suicides after the Christmas holidays than at any other time of the year. And I know this is because we are forced to be with somebody that we cannot just not see anymore. We cannot stop writing. We cannot stop taking them out to lunch. We are related to them. And we've got to keep the family together, and we've got to be special to them, and we've got to sit next to them all through Thanksgiving dinner while they slurp their soup or do whatever it is that totally annoys you. And it's a horrible thing. I began asking people, do you have somebody like this? And people began saying, oh, yes, yes. Now, they've got to be related. I know. Oh, I'm related. And I found that there are sisters and brothers, mothers, fathers. And who are you going to tell? That the person that bugs you the most, say, is your mother. She's also the Bible study teacher leader at your church. And a lot of people love her. How are you going to say, that lady bugs me to death? How are you going to say that? How are you going to even admit it to yourself that this is a problem? I have a friend whose mother-in-law is her person. And my friend is a very good cook, a marvelous hostess. And she set this Christmas dinner that stretched out on their table for like miles. All this good stuff out there. Her mother-in-law came, surveyed the whole table, and said, don't you have any plain red jello? You know, you could commit murder for things like that after you had slaved on that dinner. Another woman told me that she and her mother had never talked, never been able to communicate. Mother's a fine Christian woman, and this woman is a fine Christian woman. She got a lump on her breast, went to have the test, she came back to the test, it was cancer, she was going to have a mastectomy. She came to her mother, and she said, Mom, I want to take you out to lunch because I've got something to tell you. Now, her mother had never listened to her before, they'd never been able to talk, although they're supposed to love each other. Mother's Day comes and she gets the cards and the plants and the goodies and all that. And the facade, they go to church. They're seen in church. Mother's a wonderful Christian woman, but never talks to this girl. This young woman said to me, so I thought now I'm going to have a mastectomy. Surely my mother will talk to me now. Surely she'll listen to me. So she takes her out to lunch. And on the way home from lunch, they're in the car. And this friend of mine says, Mother, I have some very serious news. You know that I've been taking some tests and everything. And her mother says, yeah. And she says, well, the tests are back. The lump is malignant. And I'm going to have a mastectomy next Tuesday. And her mother said, you know, your sister has the best recipes for chicken enchiladas that we've ever had. Now, my friend is starting to get hyper and starting to panic, and she says, Mother, as calmly as she can, I just told you I'm going to have a mastectomy. Mother, I have cancer. Mother, listen to me. And her mother says, I hear you, and I don't like the tone of voice that you're using with me. She says, Mother, I think I might be dying. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and tell me about this recipe? And her mother said, Don't raise your voice at me. Don't talk to me that way. And if you let the enchiladas go too long in the oven, they dry out, and they're just horrible. Now, this young woman says to me, How can I accept a woman like that? What can I do with her? I wanted to absolutely kill her on the spot. What can I do? And I said to her, Hasn't she always been like that? She said, Yeah, but I thought when I was going to tell her about cancer that she'd be different. No, one of the problems with these kind of people is that they don't change. I wish they would. I'd give anything if they would. I never knew what to call them.